All right, folks, welcome to ninoscorner.tv. I got a very, very good guest today, very controversial guest, Craig Sawman Sawyer. And let me tell you, folks, I've been texting with him a lot recently, and he's been helping me out with my situation at home. And good dude, in my opinion, good dude. And but I know he's seen some things. Craig, man, thank you so much for joining me, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Nino, thanks for having me on, brother. Appreciate it.
Yeah, dude. I mean, absolutely. And I see like you're really out there doing your best to stop these child predators, man. I see the photos you sent me, the arrests you're doing. And, you know, I don't have most people just don't walk the walk. They talk the talk. They don't walk the walk. But you're out there doing it. You're out there arresting people on all walks of life, that are. And since this is YouTube, and I want to put this up on YouTube, let's use the word predator instead of the PDF.
Sure.
PDF or predator. But the stories that you've been telling me, man, are pretty damn insane. Like, you just don't know where these predators are lurking, right? They're in all walks of life.
Well, that's what we're seeing revealed in the Epstein files. It's continually leaking out. I believe on the biggest picture, it now's the predetermined time when the people of planet Earth are supposed to learn how bad the corruption has been, and what the wicked people who have most of the wealth and power, quite frankly, around the world, actually do for that wealth and power, and a lot of it's has centered around the children, and that's where. That's what's freaking a lot of people out, because American populace has been really conditioned into being tolerant, Dave, of anything, right?
Anything now. I think it's like analysis paralysis. People are just like in such shock with so much stuff coming out. Now they're just like, they don't know what to do. Everyone's just kind of frozen like a deer in headlights.
Yeah. So there are people that were using some language in the last few years. And I was personally thinking, don't use the hyperbolic language labeling them as satanic predators, but they use the other P word. And I'm like, our investigations are showing that's exactly what they are. But if you label them all that, people are going to say, oh, you're just painting with too broad a brush and you're not being accurate and careful. But the more we investigate, the more people we catch and prosecute, and the more evidence comes out, the more it's true. It's like, that's the club that George Carlin was talking about. It's a big club and you ain't in it. He's talking about the wealthy and powerful who do unspeakable things to children.
Do you ever have to bust doors down and chase these people on foot?
We've gotten into high speed chases down near the border in Southern Texas. Yeah. There was one cartel driver. He had 30 people in the vehicle, including children. And they did a U-turn, crashed through a rancher's barbed wire fence, and then they all busted out and scattered. So we had BORTAC down there with helicopters overhead, and our team and Border Patrol and Sheriff's Department and Constable's Office were going and finding the people and rounding them up and bringing them back to.
Well, if any of your guys that you're working with or anybody you're chasing is overweight, I got the answer right here. We've all seen the headlines about those miracle weight loss shots, but the 2025 data is officially in, and it's a wake-up call. A major analysis revealed that once people stop the injections, they regain an average of 60% of that weight within a year. Even worse, most of that gain is pure fat. But the muscle they lost stays gone, leaving them with a crash metabolism and a body that's functionally older than when they started. That's why I'm obsessed with today's sponsor, GLP-1 Elevate. Instead of using needles to override my system, it uses clinically studied plant-based ingredients like metabolite to help my body naturally boost its own hunger control signals. I get the same fullness and fewer cravings, but without the scary side effects and metabolic rebound. It supports my goals while protecting my muscle, so I can actually keep the results for good and run faster. So you can catch these guys. To celebrate Valentine's Day, get 50% off GLP-1 Elevate at Trim with Nino. Everywhere includes a complete support bundle with free VIP coaching for life, a 60-day money-back guarantee, and free express shipping on subscriptions. That's Trim with Nino, folks. Get over there. So I have to do it. I got to do it, Greg.
No, man, I could probably use some.
It'll help you run faster. You lose weight. But you're all muscle, though, dude. So you started Veterans for Child Rescue. And how long have you been doing that now?
8 years.
8 years. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. Now, so I can hear my audience. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. But let's go back to when he worked with Hillary and this and that. And you were telling me, man, that it was probably like a very, you know, in my mind, a very horrific time for you, or a very disturbing time for you, or just part of your past. But can you explain? Let's go into that just for a second. Let's just
it's so simple, and it's going to cause you to have disgust for the one child predator, quite frankly, who started that rumor. So I was working for a company called Triple Canopy, who was contracting to the U.S. Department of State over in the war zones. The Kirkuk region of Iraq was my region where I was running the high threat mobile security for the Department of State, the regional coordinator, and any chief of mission personnel. So while we were there running mobile security, high threat mobile security in the motorcades, moving the people around to their meetings and back, Hillary Clinton and John McCain came in off a flight in our airport to meet with the regional coordinator, who was my protectee. Hillary and John McCain did not have a security detail. They had only two Secret Service guys behind them, walking like 30 yards behind them, all defeated and beat down because apparently she's not a very nice person to deal with.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
He doesn't like her security detail or anything. So they came into our perimeter, my responsibility, without a security detail. And I met the agent in charge. I was like, hey, I'm Sawman. This is my detail. Where's your team? He's like, yeah, this is all we have. I'm like, okay, well, here are all my guys. Here are the vehicles. Here's the bunkers. There's the hospital over there. Blah, 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 blah. Here's a radio. Here's my call sign. Let me know if you need anything. They went and sat down in the corner, and Hillary was there for a series of meetings, and then they got back on the helicopter and left. So over that, I never talked to Hillary.
I mean, I never worked for her. You never said hello to her.
I never followed her around and making sure she was okay. I was the agent in charge for the Kirkuk region for the Department of State. So she came into our AO and left. She was a junior senator. Now, she was a junior senator in 2005, February of 2005, when that was. So they came in for a series of meetings and left. I never had to deal with her. So over that technicality, opportunists who want clickbait or predators.
That's right.
They resent the fact that I have 100% conviction rate arresting every type of child predator, no matter who they are, no matter what party or name or rank or anything, we put them away. So I'll go through a quick list.
Hold on. So this is kind of like you were doing like Blackwater stuff. Is that what it would be considered, like Delta?
Yeah. It was Triple Canopy. It was run by a bunch of Delta operators. Most of the tier one guys were at Triple Canopy.
So they hire you privately.
Because State Department, in a surge like that, when you've got a war going on and then the aftermath of it, State Department doesn't have enough diplomatic security service agents to handle all of the different regions. They're used to doing that for one embassy in each major country where there's a high threat. And you've got a war zone, you got regions all over that war zone. So you need to upscale. So U.S. government reaches to companies that can bring in spec ops veterans who can run a high threat detail effectively and then stand it back down when that need.
So Hillary never hired your team privately for anything of her needs. Nothing.
No.
Okay.
No, never even talked to her. Yeah. She, I got a picture with John McCain and I didn't even know much about him. I thought he was a good guy at the time. I thought he was a Navy veteran and POW survivor, and I thought that was good. It was only after that, again, this is way back February of 2005, I started hearing more about McCain and how nasty he was. In fact, after that, I sent him a letter saying, hey, I'm a national security whistleblower. I blew the whistle on a high-ranking SES level executive from the top of the FBI, David Knowlton, in the Las Vegas field office of the Air Marshal Service, and they fired him for gross mismanagement, but not until after he started using terror tactics against my wife and children when he would send me to D.C. from Las Vegas for 30 days at a time. for punishment. I sit at an empty desk, and I said, hey, you could get my career restored and help me recover my retirement benefits, because I got nothing but marks for outstanding service as a SEAL Team 6 operator and federal agent manager, except for this guy. And I had to leave to pull my family out of the hostility. And McCain wouldn't even, not only would he not give me a meeting, he wouldn't even give me a phone call back.
Jeez.
And that's when I started finding out, people like, oh, he's a complete scumbag. So, man, you didn't know. I'm like, no, I didn't know. So, yeah, I found out. But, yeah, with Hillary. So the fact that the technicality that she came into our region and left back. Now, how long does a senator stay in a war zone when they go to visit?
Well, a few hours.
A few hours, a few days. So just from her coming in there, and she that was Kirkuk wasn't the only place that they went in Iraq during that short tour. So just based on that, these clickbait opportunists want to build a whole life. Well, his name and her name was listed on Wikipedia somewhere. So he loves her and rubs her feet and wants to make sure she's okay and follows her around planet Earth, serving her because he loves what she's about. So he must be a horrible monster. So it gets them clicks until people start vetting their sources and, oh, none of that even happened.
Before we go into what you're doing now, you've been involved with a lot of the three-letter agencies, and you know a lot about, well, you know a lot about the three-letter agencies and SES, correct?
Yeah, SES I've dealt with. Yeah.
So SES, from my understanding, from people I've talked to, like Juan and everybody else, is they're like the, I guess they hijack operations from other three-letter agencies and convert them into their own, or they're like the Bush, Obama, Clinton three-letter agency, from what I understand. It trickles down. They're like the umbrella, like power needs to be taken away from them in order for.
They go across all service branches, or all agencies rather, and they are a rank that really have no accountability. And that's what's dangerous about it. That's what's unhealthy about it. Anytime you remove accountability, you're gonna breed corruption. Absolute power
corrupts absolutely.
And so that's what you have there. I've known some good guys who were SES, but you know, I didn't dig into their closets to see if they had a satanic robe in there or if they're involved in something really, really dark. But a lot of people that have really tried to help clean up the federal government say every time SES executive branch really needs to be done away with. That. So really, it's kind of a good old boy hookup club, and they make a lot of money and they're not accountable. So you can find them in just about every agency. And a lot of times, if you look at their behavior, it's not good. So that's about.
But I mean, is the problem Trump is having right now with SES? I mean, that's kind of how it was explained to me. Like the Trump's main dilemma right now is trying to take the power away from SES. And the only way you could take power away from them, from what Juan has revealed, is that some kind of nuclear type of exchange where power needs to shift from SES to Cheyenne Mountain NORAD. Does that make any sense to you at all? I'm trying to figure this out
myself. Yeah, that's something I would ask Jack Farmer about, or some of the guys on our board that really are in all these think tanks and understand how to fix those big picture problems. For me, I'm more dug into our ground operations and intel on who's harming children and moving them around and who's obstructing justice in that field. So that's more of a DOD or national defense thing. You know, since I blew the whistle on David Knowlton and they fired him, I hadn't really dealt with the SES anymore after that. So that's been 20 years now.
So obviously you have a hell of a resume. You've done a lot of stuff, man. You've been busy. You've been out on the field your entire life, military, doing a lot of stuff. What made you want to go into this direction now where you're, you know, you started Veterans for Child Rescue and now you're going into this, I mean, hunting down these pet predators and arresting them, you know, like what made you do that?
It's, I think the same calling as I initially, as a young boy in Texas and in Houston, you know, we were playing outside all the time, playing army, Cowboys and Indians and all that stuff, and shooting and fighting and, riding our dirt bikes and all that. And, So I wanted to go off to become a counter-terrorist to kill all the terrorists to keep them from coming here and ruining our freedom of our sanctuary, freedom and liberty here. And so we could live the way that we want to. And so yeah, that's some of our crew. It's one of our chatters, and that's one of our camera guys.
So is this privately funded, this whole thing? Like,
yeah, we're a nonprofit org. So we don't have any help from government on this.
Like, is it like a private investigator type thing? Like, well, private investigators, anybody can just hire you to be like, hey, go find these children or these people.
Nobody hires us. People donate. They send in $5, $10, $20.
Really?
Yeah. And we go, we move about 15 people from one state to another, and we team up with the DA, district attorney, and we plan the operation with their sheriff's department, police department. Usually Homeland Security investigations, FBI, or have a contingent, a couple, 2, 3, 4, 5 people there, sometimes more, depending on the nature of our operation. And the predators come to abduct children or have sex with the children.
So you set up like sting operations to get them, right?
Yeah. So the haters want to discredit me. We're out there arresting the predators for real. And so some of the people that just the clickbait people online, they don't do the real work. All they do is sit at home in their dirty underwear and type about, you know, post bad stuff about those of us who are actually making the real stuff happen. So that's part of it.
Go through it with me. Like, what does a sting operation entail? Like from start to finish, let's go through this. Cause I'm curious about this. I've always wanted to know, like, what kind of, how you have to set them up. How do you know who to set up? Do you go into like chat rooms and.
Yeah, no, you don't set anyone up. It's like fishing, you know, when you want to catch a fish, you throw something in the water, and a fish that doesn't eat that is not going to bite it. But a fish that eats whatever's on that hook, he's going to come bite it. Right. So without revealing trade secrets, we have people who are survivors of childhood sexual trauma who are trained by law enforcement or law enforcement themselves. And they put information on the net, and they give the predators an opportunity to pursue a child for sex. So what happens is,
and these people you would think they'd be more cautious, but they're not all that cautious, are they?
Some of them are very cautious, but okay. You could still tell what they're up to. They're still sniffing around. They're still talking to children online, and they're still trying to turn the conversation sexual.
Like how old are these children? Like, they're targeting, like, what age, like all ages, like,
dude, what, if we put a baby in diapers out there, there's someone's going to,
God, bro.
It's demonic. Look, you know, Dave, if you imagine some, let's go back to Pam Anderson on Baywatch, right?
Yeah.
You got this bombshell. There are obviously features there that show health, and that she would give you healthy children, offspring, right? It's just as a
species. That's an driven instinct for men. Like, I don't understand. Yeah. Like, yes.
So a child doesn't have any of those.
Right.
So that's not a natural inclination. And really, the guys don't like to hear this, but when I talk to these guys, we catch them. I'll say, "What, you know, what got you off of a healthy, full-grown female all the way down to a little child?" And they'll admit, "Dude, it's poisoning our culture."
Wow!
If you start researching what's going on,
they just go down a rabbit hole.
They start. It's like an addiction. It's like, you know, if you see a junkie, hey, when did you just start shooting up all day? Well, it started with
marijuana.
Something less than that, and it got worse and worse and worse, because at first a little will do it, and then after a while, a little doesn't do it. A little gets mow and mow wow, like the Guns N' Roses song.
Yeah.
So that's what we're running into again and again. Guys will start.
So, and now that it's so accessible on the internet, it's breeding more of this behavior.
100%.
Whoa, man.
And so it's hard for a normal guy to go, "Well, I'm just looking at, you know, healthy bombshell women that are pretty." Well, guess what, brothers? By clicking on that, you're still empowering and increasing the ranking, the search ranking of that entity that's put that. And guess what else that entity sells for money? Children. They've got a lot of, is always children, and that's non-consensual. A lot of these children are slaves, or they don't make it. And it's, there's a lot of darkness there. Even if you click on the image, you're contributing, you're empowering it. So our nation really needs to learn how it all works.
And, so you go into like chat rooms and
everything.
And then you,
a lot of them, and a lot of it, here's important to know. A lot of them are just a neighborhood app, like social media, like a Facebook for a neighborhood. Hi, I'm Sally and I like butterflies and I'm new to this neighborhood. A benign elementary school picture. Hi, you know, I'm new to the neighborhood looking for new little friends. Hey, what's up? Some dude, some creeper. And then next thing you know, he's showing her pictures of his genitalia. He's doing things to himself, showing video. The conversation quickly turns sexual and quickly turns vulgar and sometimes violent and revolting. You're like, what? You know, the chatters will look at each other while they're chatting some of these guys, and they'll go, this guy, here's what this guy's telling me right now. And on what planet does he think that's attractive to anyone? We're talking about painful, abusive things. And he's so sick in his mind that he thinks a little girl wants to do those things with him and let him do those things to her. Yeah, these are the last three we caught down in Freer, Texas. So
you set up a scenario like, oh, I'll meet you at the park or something, and when they show up, you get them?
Mm-hmm. Or a house, you know, hey, come over.
And so they're guilty once they arrive, correct? Kind of like To Catch a Predator with...
Yeah, they commit the crime. Now, because these guys haven't been convicted in a court of law yet, these guys are fresh arrests. We do have a 100% conviction rate, so know that. But also, it's important to say, because we do have due process, a note to say, until they are convicted in a court of law, they must be presumed innocent. So because their picture's up, I want to say that in all fairness. But yeah, they come. By the time they come, they've committed the crime multiple times over. They've demonstrated their intent to have sex with a minor in multiple ways. And they'll show up with duct tape and diapers.
What?
And stun guns and handcuffs and condoms and Viagra and sex lube. And there's a lot of weird stuff. One dude, the cartel guy that came to abduct two girls, he had cameras wired in front and back in his vehicle. He had water in every water container and the doors and all the way around his SUV. Mercedes SUV was a nice one. It just registered it in his day, like in his name, like 3 days prior. He had jumper cables, antifreeze. He had a bunch of stuff in his vehicle that showed you he didn't want to stop anywhere and leave a presence. So he was probably going to take those girls, take them either over the border into Canada or down into Mexico. This is some of our law enforcement allies that working with us, this an arrest team down in Freer, Texas, Freer Police Department. Great guys.
How rampant is this stuff, man? And it's all walks of life, correct? It's not, you know, you would think, oh, it's the guy. A lot of people think, oh, it's these immigrants that are coming over. No, it's everybody. No,
it's
walks of life, correct?
Yeah. I'll just let you know. So we've caught an active duty Army recruiter, which broke my heart. We've caught an LDS church elder who came after church to abuse
Latter-day Saint girls. Mormon.
Yeah, yeah. And he was in Utah. He was a highly connected elite predator. And so he was able to get the judge to let him out within 2 years. And he was 73 years old. He should have spent the rest of his natural life in prison. So that shows you how the power that the Mormons have over each other up there, and the power that the elite in that predator club have, where they'll let each other out. it's frustrating.
They protect each other.
Corruption. Say again.
They protect each other.
Yeah. Sheriff's brother we've arrested. Illegals, couple cartel guys. Some of the guys are coming. They're coming to abduct the girls, to traffic them. And some
have you seen a dip in it since Trump has been in office, or is it escalated?
Well, our operations are escalating since Trump's gotten in, because law enforcement feel like they're better supported to do the work in good faith. When you had the Biden administration in, the Biden administration was trafficking children. Our federal government, with our tax dollars, was trafficking children. And what are you saying, Sawman? Are you using exaggerated language? No. Health and Human Services, HHS, was contracting a covert company called MVM out of Northern Virginia, who contracts to the CIA, to covertly fly children from the U.S. border, unaccompanied minors, so children without their parents, to unvetted sponsors. So two child traffickers, two predators, to anybody who just said, I'll take some children, give them to me. They weren't checking the people anymore because they were rushing the children in so fast. They're just pouring them into the country. They didn't care who they were going to. Under the Biden administration, that's where the 300 and something thousand children that they lost. Well, if they lost that many, how many do they give to predators that aren't lost?
You know, this is like such a intricate system, and then it's so complex, right? Like, it's like the open borders brought the kids in, and then it would feed off into just predators picking them up at the border or at different locations. But also this fed into like CPS, correct? Like, went into CPS, and then they would, and good people work in CPS. Like, they don't know what's really going on, so I'm not going to say everyone in CPS is bad, but the top people do know what's going on, and they're feeding these kids to predators and foster homes and stuff like that, right? CPS is
and it's important to recognize that about any institution. You know, we've got a lot of corruption at the top of the FBI right now, but that doesn't mean everybody in the FBI is corrupt. Same thing with CPS. You've got some states like Arizona where it's particularly bad, and they'll target single moms and take the children from them, and they'll say, hey, we're the ranking, you know, we're the authority here. And they'll take maybe a minority single mom who's trying their best to provide for her kids. And they'll be like, that kid looks a little dirty. That one looks a little thin to us. We're taking your kids and put them in the foster system. She never hears from her kids again.
Wow.
And if those kids or that kid goes from one foster care family to the next, eventually that kid goes off the books. Nobody knows where the child went. That's when a child is sold like a bag of meat and maybe gone and sacrificed in some ritual or organ harvesting where they're worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's utterly evil. And the American populace don't want to know because they don't have the moral courage to face it. They don't know King Jesus and know the power that he has and the power that they have, the authority and the power that they have being a child of the Most High God. So they're fearful and they're weak and they allow this to happen. So we're going around trying to show everybody, here's how you fight. Here's how you put bad guys away and say no to evil and inspire other people to step up and do it. And then the wicked are trying to stop us going, he works for Hillary or whatever they're doing. They're not going to face me. So they resort to cowardly smear tactics. It's the same way as politics. You know, they can't stop you outright. So they try to reduce your support. But man, we're growing, and our intel team, brother, is powerful. They, with the tools and the network that they have, they can find out just about whatever they need to on these criminal networks and these predators. And it's fun for law enforcement to see what we can do when we start running the operation. Like, you find
I was gonna ask. Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. So do you, when you're getting ready to do a bust or going in and take down one of these predators, how does the police work with you? Do you call them and say, hey, we got something going on this location. Meet us there. We're going to need you to arrest this predator. I mean, because you guys can't really arrest them, right?
Well, some of us are still a badged law enforcement. Some are not. Most of us have all been badged law enforcement, at least either federal or local, and most of us military spec ops to boot. So there are some times where we serve on the arrest team, the takedown team, especially in the smaller places where they need the extra manning. But they'll deputize us and swear us in. And probably 2/3 of the places we work, we get sworn in and deputized. So we're part of the law enforcement entity in that respect. But really what law enforcement does is host the operation, and they provide the takedown teams, the arrest team. So we'll have anywhere between 1 and 3 teams to arrest the predators whenever they come in. So that it's good to have multiple teams in case we have predators coming in rapid succession, where you almost have an aircraft control problem. You're like, you predator, wait, you predator, come on in. We'll take you right now. And you get it done that way. But you know, they run the arrests, and then we turn over all of the evidence to the district attorney, the prosecuting attorneys, and make sure everybody has everything that they need so the case is bomb proof. That's why we got a 100% conviction rate. We're very careful with how we run it. And it's better if law enforcement do the hands-on cuffing, because
I want to go back just for a second to the, because this is important, man. I remember I can't remember who's telling me this, but someone was telling me about these horror stories about people, like just good families taking their kid to the doctor and not wanting to get, you know, this in their shoulder, you know, and then the doctors like would call CPS and turn these people in, and the next thing you know, they're fighting tooth and nail for their kids. Like their kids are they try to take their kids away. Is that I've heard that's a huge problem in America. Like doctors calling in on parents that don't have, that their kids aren't taking the, you know what, like this was like last few years ago, you know,
I don't doubt it. You see such immoral abuses when you have people who are of a certain outlook and they're friendly to the club that George Carlin talked about. It's a big club and you ain't in it. They're all on board with it seems like every manner of perversion perpetrated on the kids and letting the kids have the ability to mutilate themselves without their parents' consent. And it just gets, we see every scenario out there. It seems like it's, where's the accountability? I mean, some of the situations where there's a lot of money being made in the medical community with that whole issue you're talking about. I mean, I buried several friends. I got Trump's doctor on the horn once, and we were able to take a Vietnam veteran Navy SEAL out of one hospital in Phoenix where they put him on the death protocol. They put him on a ventilator and remdesivir, which shuts your body down, shuts your lungs down. And they're like, dude, that's what's killing them. So we got him out of there. They transported him with a ambulance, especially outfitted with a bunch of O2 equipment, and to transport him to another hospital that did have an O2 chamber, an oxygen chamber, hyperbaric chamber. And they were going to pressurize him in an oxygen-rich environment and let him heal. And he started recovering, and then they botched a trach on him. And by the time they caught that and tested him again, he was basically brain dead. So I buried several quality friends that were, in my opinion, killed for the money. They're worth a lot of money to
the hospital,
for the organs.
You're right.
Labeled them several, you know, there's a whole checkoff list. If you checked off all those things, by the time you got rid of the dead body, you could make a lot of money. So it's very, very, very ugly. So who would wittingly participate in that? It goes back to the club. It's not just that they're willing to do sick things to children. A lot of these people are Satanists,
right?
That run the globe, and it's, you know, they call it Luciferian because they think that's somehow more sophisticated. No, it's the same clown
they're
rooted out of heaven.
Yeah,
it's just Satan. It's dysfunction. But they want to take the benefits, the temporary benefits, the hookers and blow, and the position in the global banking, and look, I got money, I'm powerful, la la la. until their eyes close for the last time, and then they wake up in hell going, uh-oh.
Yeah.
So it's disheartening to see how many people will choose evil given free will, but there a lot of them seem to be willing to do this.
Oh, they say the road to hell is
that's the common thread. Like the secret institutions or the secret societies that JFK warned us about, they're secret because they do sick stuff to kids and they're Satanists.
So
and that's what we're seeing undermining. Look into the SES, look at all these. If there's a group that hooked themselves up and there's a secret handshake and wink, any of these secret societies, now we're learning they almost all do this stuff to kids. And that's why they have this club to begin with.
So with the Jeffrey Epstein stuff, the files dropping now and all this stuff that's coming out and people are learning of the horrific atrocities done on children. Do you believe we're going to have justice? Do you believe this is going to lead? I feel like citizens, once they digest this enough and they let it marinate, that they're going to take these, this situation into their own hands, a lot of them. And I think they're going to be camping out at celebrities' houses and, you know, lynching people, man. I can see that developing into that. You know, they said these people won't, you know, the 17th letter said on the boards, you know, that you won't be able to walk. They won't be able to walk the streets. Do you agree with that? Do you think now that this stuff is being aired out, there's going to be a line in the sand and it's either you're over here or over there and there's going to be justice? How do you see this developing in your mind?
I sure hope so. Now, when it looked like Trump was going to win this time, I had a handful of people around him, around Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, letting them know that I have a plan to purge any federal agency of its corruption, a systematic plan to do that. Because again, as a success, as an effective national security whistleblower, I watched from the inside the corrupt panic and circle of wagons around one of their SES level executives to try to keep him from getting caught so that they all didn't get caught after that. So I knew how to break it. I knew what they were afraid of, and I knew what it would take very systematically to purge to ID the bad guys and get them out. And nobody in this administration is interested in purging our DOJ, our FBI, or our CIA of its deep and obvious corruption. So nobody's expressing any interest in that. Everybody that I know that has gotten in a cabinet position felt like they've made it, and they kind of ghosted everybody that they knew that had solutions. And so there's a lot of resentment from people that I know people that have gotten in positions that in DC to make a real difference, and they just quit. So we see Pam Bondi not prosecuting. We see President Trump saying, let's just move on from this whole Epstein issue. And we're like, wait, we were hopeful, Mr. President. Because when Hillary said, well, it's in a debate stage, on a debate stage, well, it's just very good that you're not president. And he said, because you'd be in jail.
Jail, yeah.
People cheered. I mean, it was a roar of the crowd because everyone's like, yes, finally a pen. Someone that's going to do something about her and all of them. And he's never done like anything. He's never lifted a finger against her.
Huh? Drove it home. That was like the one-liner that drove it home for him. That
yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, I think that's why he got elected. Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest yes I think he's ever gotten.
Yeah.
And he's either so tone deaf to that or so insulated from the truth that he has no comprehension of the club that George Carlin was talking about, or he's complicit and unwilling to oppose them.
You don't believe that there's an operation, a firewall behind Trump?
I believe that he's probably surrounded by people who are stabbing him in the back, if that's what you mean.
No, I mean, you know, like the generals that invited him to run, do you believe in the operation at all?
Oh, no.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why, Dave. It sounded good to me. I was like, oh, that'd be really, really cool. So I started looking into it. This was early on. And I'm blessed to know admirals and generals and directors of agencies at the very top of our national security, in the intelligence community, in DOD, and JSOC and everywhere else. Not one of them has ever said they thought or heard or knew anything about that being true whatsoever. And these are dudes that should be part of it if there was.
Well, I've heard that a lot of people have a lot of animosity for not being read in. I heard just a very few people, less than a dozen, were read in to the operation. So that's what I've heard. I don't have any, I can't prove that. It's just what I've heard, but that there was at least 24, I mean, I'm sorry, 200 generals that invited him to run, but there's only about 12 people that were read in. Now, I have no way to prove that. Yeah. I just what I've heard, but
yeah.
So what's next for you, Craig? What other missions are you going on? What do you got? What's brewing?
Yeah, well, we're meeting with district.
You should live stream this. Do you live stream this shit?
No.
Good.
No.
You should get everyone in there on the chat, man, when you're taking these people down.
Oh, there's no shortage of TV producers that would like to make a show following us around. We're like, no, this is better.
On a ride along with you.
Yeah, well, we do bring some VIPs.
Dress me up like a 13-year-old girl.
We'll let you try your. We'll get you trained up and let you try your chops, bro. See how it goes. Yeah, you may find your new mojo.
Just be in the room. Let them come in, and then you guys could just go have a sandwich.
Nino the Hunter, right?
Yeah. See what happens.
We're meeting with DAs. We got more meetings with law enforcement and prosecutors now than ever. We've had a string of rapid succession operations. We've done several now and recently in the last few weeks in Texas and one in Idaho before that. We hadn't done one in Idaho before, way up near the northern border. And that was a new dynamic. And so there's two huge trafficking rings that we are investigating, and one is at a place where they're moving about 200 children per month through there, and the chief law enforcement agent in that location is complicit. So we're working on getting the final smoking gun evidence that we need to force a massive response from the director level of federal law enforcement to get in and bring an army of agents in to start kicking doors and making recoveries there. But that's a big case. It takes a lot of work.
Well, here's the V4CR. Where do people go, Craig, to donate or what, you know?
Yeah, man.
Support
V4CR.org.
So just like that, but .org at the end?
Yes, sir.
V4CR.org. I can't just put V4CR.org?
Right.
So it's V.4.C?
No, not the dots. That's okay, just the logo.
Okay.
Or if you type in the words vets for child rescue, it'll pull up our website.
So, but I could just put V4CR.org at the bottom here. They can click on that and they can support there.
Perfect. That'll do it. Yes.
All right, Craig, man, I appreciate you coming on. I got to jump to the next podcast. I think we covered most everything here, man. I mean, this is impressive, and I wish you luck.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, man. Take care.
All right, stay with me. Stay with me just for a second.